That's Robin Shear Wells, the head coach at the University of Evansville. Coach, what's going on in your world?
I think we have a game coming up in a couple days. Not sure what day it is, but it's always basketball day, right? So it's just that time of year where the games come, you know, really fast and furious, and you know, getting close to Christmas, and you know, magical time of the year.
Thank you so much for being with us on Nothing But Net. You're always so kind to respond yes, that you always want to come on with us. So thank you for doing that. So Absolutely. Tell us how it's going so far.
Well, you know, young team, and we're just going through some growing pains at times, especially on the road. We've had a tough schedule. We've only had two home games so far, and we've played a lot of games on the road. And, you know, I really see a lot of glimpses of just the talent that we have. And we've just struggled to put 40 minutes together on the road. But at home, you know, we've had two really good home runs. We play well here. So I'm happy to be coming back home this weekend for a home game. And I think there's been a lot of things to really build from. And we've got 11 underclassmen. I've got, you know, six sophomores and five freshmen. And we're just playing a lot of players that, you know, just don't have a lot of college experience. And I want them to grow up faster. sometimes you just can't push a fast forward button on some of that stuff.
By design, I always believe coaches put their non-conference together with a vision in mind. And so in the landscape today with the portal and the way things are changing, that's a young team to have 11 players that are freshmen and sophomores. So going on the road, you have to have some like team building, bonding. Like, what are you learning about your team on the road that's going to help you?
This team is committed to winning and to like loving each other and growing through it. They're such a coachable group, and they're very connected. And it's been interesting as this is the first week where we've gone a week with, you know, kind of in between games where we've finally been able to, you know, get through finals, but also have some of those discussions. And a lot of players have really shared to me, we connect so well off the floor, but we're still haven't totally done it on the floor. And even they're very aware of like, how do we grow our connection on the floor? Because we are such a connected team in general. And so that's been an interesting thing that I've really seen and learned about them, you know, being on the road. They're a fun group to be around. And we've had to travel a lot together. So I still want to be around them every day. So I think that's a good sign.
That is a good sign, because the travel can be weary, and especially with the weather that you've had to deal with some in the Midwest recently. I want to ask you about the Indiana Fever, because I know you follow the team and living in the state of Indiana. And, you know, I worked for the Indiana Fever for 20 years on their broadcast. So it's a lot of fun. Like, how does the energy and the excitement around the WNBA and the Indiana Fever transfer to what you're doing at Evansville?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I've always said about coaching basketball in Indiana is that, you know, people in Indiana just love basketball, and they will watch good basketball, you know, regardless of age, gender, you know, they just like good basketball. And so it's been fun to see, you know, the rise of the Fever over the last, you know, 2 years, and that excitement has generated just that much more conversation around basketball. And, seeing a lot more kind of general fans get on board with the women's game through it too. There's just been a lot more interest there, and it's really cool. You know, I walk into my, my son is 4 years old. He's in preschool, and I walk into his preschool class, and there's little boys that are wearing Caitlin Clark shirts in his class. Not just little girls, right? We see little boys wearing it. And I love that. So I certainly have seen a lot of excitement around it here.
I'm a boy mom also. My three boys have grown up around the game, and mostly, it's a balance for me, men and women's schedule. So, but they've been in the gym with me with a lot of clinics and camps and things that we've done that have involved girls. I know what my young men have experienced and how much they respect the game and how much they respect women. When you're watching through your son, I think Jet is his name, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Jet's eyes, what he's experiencing with your team. What does that make you hope for him down the road?
Yeah, I love that, that he is getting to see this. And I think he's seeing it in a context where my hope for him is that it takes him a long time to realize that there's a difference between boys basketball and girls basketball, that we're all just playing basketball, right? And that it's a sport for everyone, and that there isn't much of a, you know, distinguishment for him in that sense. And, you know, just seeing the hustle and the care and the attitude, like, that's the thing that I hope as he, you know, continues to get it a little bit more and understand it, that those things are going to rub off on him.
We don't always know or think they're listening or paying attention, but they're probably picking up more than he's probably picking up stuff that he didn't even realize. What is the most unique and interesting conversation that you may have had with someone that has followed your program or somebody that's new as a fan to your program in the last 2 years? Like, it was like an eye-opening experience. Like, oh yeah, you know what? These girls can really play.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, we do get some of the newer fans who are like, you know, we've, you know, not watched much women's basketball until we come out and watch your team, and just the fast pace of play, and, you know, and just the how hard we play, yeah. You know, those type of conversations. But, you know, there's also the fans that have been here and been at UE. And it's one of the things that makes, you know, our Evansville community so special is we have some really longtime fans who've seen a lot of different eras of, you know, of our program, and some of those longtime fans, especially with my current team, of how encouraging they are, where, you know, it's like, we'll step off the court and, you know, and let's say, Robin, like, this team is close, like, this team, like, they're gonna turn the corner soon, like, you have a lot of talent. And, you know, we have fans that have been around a long time, they don't BS you. I think, you know, they don't say those things if they don't actually mean it. You know, they tell the truth.
Yeah, there. Sometimes it's too. It hurts to the core when your fans say something that because they know you so well, because you're so accessible. Like, you're in the community, you're involved, you're easy to reach. People like that. They want to be able to have a tangible with their coaches. Why do you think that's still so important in the game, as the investment and the growth in corporate America has come into our game?
Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, I think it is still about community. You know, sports bring communities together, and that's still, like, to me, that has to be still a driving thing in being involved in sports and being involved at this level. And, you know, in our community at UE, at a smaller private school, like, our community is everything. It's one of the things that I just absolutely love about being here. I love about our booster club and those type of things. And I see how much my players understand it too, and they get it. And, you know, a few weeks ago, my captains were like, Coach, would you mind if after we go through the handshake line at home that we go around the gym and, like, thank our fans? I was like, would I mind? No, no, I don't mind. Yeah. Please go do that. Cause our players get it too.
I think it's important. I've seen Texas do that. I've seen South Carolina do it. I think at the highest level, they are engaging with their fans. And I think it's always important, because we're still going to always be grassroots and we should still always remember our grassroots so that we can build on that. Mm-hmm. But when you're preparing for games in the Valley, the analytics are important, the feel. You have had great experience. You know the tendencies of every coach, unless they're new to the mm-hmm. league. You know what everybody's running. You know what you need to win. How much has that helped you stay on schedule with where you want to go with what you're doing at Evansville?
Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to this season, because there was such an old conference last year. And so a lot of teams in our conference are really, you know, graduated some key players. And I think that, you know, kind of the middle of the pack, you know, maybe third or fourth through 11 is really anyone's game on any night. You know, there's probably only a couple teams that really brought back a considerable amount of experience. And so, for me, it's exciting just to see what is going to unfold, you know. And I think a lot of our teams in the Missouri Valley have really challenged ourselves here in non-conference play. And so it's going to be interesting to see kind of what everyone does as we start out Valley play.
Wide open.
It truly is.
It feels like it is wide open. I mean, when you look at some of the non-conference schedules, the league, it's been tough, you know, but when you get into conference play, it's a whole nother level, and it's really fun to follow. When you're looking at some of the things that you have to do conceptually, I'm just curious, like, tell people what your planning stages are like, from concepts in the summer to how they play out to preparation for conference play.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, in the summer, we really spent a lot of time because we had such a young team, of just trying to shore up some real basics on, of, you know, man-to-man defense and sitting down and guarding people and, you know, and those type of things. And, you know, really felt like with a young team, we're gonna have to spend a lot of time on this. And then we spent a lot of time on, you know, transition offense and the, how to attack a closeout, really, like how to read your defense in transition. How do you create those advantages? And that was the big part of our focus in the summer. But when you have a young team, or I think a lot of teams, you know, are experiencing this right now, when you have a lot of turnover, bring in transfers, those type of things, there's some things that, you know, as you get into non-conference playing, get through it, you start to realize, well, these are more an area of strengths of our team. Or when we've run some of this stuff in the past, that's been great in the past, but doesn't totally fit our current personnel. So, you know, I think there's always the kind of the mainstays for us that aren't going to change a whole lot. But we're truly, I mean, we're still adjusting. Right now, as I'm really starting to see, again, a lot of our strengths this year, we've got much better shooters than we've had in the past. We're a little bit more guard oriented this year, where in previous years, we've always had those, you know, four or five, you know, stretch fours, four or five type player that we've really featured a lot. So it's adjusting a lot of things. And that part is fun for me, because that's like the X's and O's part.
Robin, I've never seen you without a smile on your face, honestly. I mean, you always have this infectious energy about you, and you can see it. It comes through in the way you coach. You can see it in the way your team plays. Where does that drive come to, regardless of just thinking about outcomes, about thinking about the journey along the way with what you're doing and how you stay motivated to do it?
I love being a teacher, and I love basketball. You know, those two things, like I love talking the game. I love the X's and O's part of it, but I equally love being around young people and what the game can do for them and the life lessons that we can teach and learn. You know, I still draw back on my college days of the lessons I learned from being a student athlete. Anytime I'm having a hard day, I always think, oh, I got through college. I can do anything, you know, and I always share that with my players. Like, you know, college are some of the hardest, you know, you go through some of your hardest things when you're a college athlete. And so I love that part of it. And, you know, still just getting to know them and being in a different phase of coaching and stage of life, you know, now where my players really look at me more like a second mom and kind of embracing that stage of things. Yeah. and the special kind of relationships that are coming out of that part of it too.
Well, and you can see it, and you can see that's why your players enjoy playing with you and for you. So, Robin, you've always been so gracious to give us your time on Nothing But Net. So thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it, and we hope you enjoy the holiday season.
Thanks. You too, Debbie. And thank you for all you do for women's basketball and for the MBC as well.
Thank you.